flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, a big Friday show. A lot of folks stopping by. I hope you'll be one of them. Great side question. Get your name in the hat to win the prize at the end of this week. Do you guys have copy there? Is the prize the Trump book or is it Gallows? Because if it's Gallows, it's Gallows.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have been told, definitely. Well, I got a rift on that. Bro, got to get her to call in on the salad at Gallows. Oh, my God. That's one way to get her on. All right.
Yeah, Gallows Seafood and Harv's Burger Bar in Northeast Philadelphia. Visit them online, gallowsandburgerbar.com.
The Burger Bar,
oh,
too.
It's delicious, man.
Fancy burgers.
It's so
yes.
good. Yeah.
yeah.
So
Seven Fishes site. They should have a big marquee outside. Seven Fishes held here every year.
They're so good.
See further details.
Like, you've brought me there multiple times now, and every time it's just better and better. The entrees
Absolutely.
Are huge. It's so
moderately priced neighborhood staples. So, Jim Harvey, thank you. Welcome on board. All right. A couple of things. We are going to talk with one of the leading moms who was with RFK Jr., brought over to his side by the Make America Healthy movement at 12:30. Big article on her and how RFK Jr. is a breakthrough for the Trump coalition politically. But it is stunning to see the continuing developments here around what happened with this horrific crash. So here is Tom Costello for NBC. And this isn't a DEI thing per se. It's just people in the federal government. When you're air traffic controller, I don't care what happens, you can't send somebody home early. If they're sick, they stay there until the backup. Is there a backup? I mean, pro football, you don't say we're going to play with 10 players. They're not life and death. Listen to Costello break down what happened before the crash.
A high-level investigative source tells me that they have now confirmed that an FAA air traffic control supervisor in the tower here at Reagan had allowed a supervisor to leave early, and as a result, there was only one supervisor Wednesday night handling both helicopter traffic and plane traffic. Normally, you would have one dedicated to helicopters, one dedicated to planes. Now, while this is not optimal, it is allowed, but nonetheless, that will clearly be a part of this investigation. Air traffic control staffing nationwide, as you know, has been an ongoing issue with a shortage of 10,000 controllers nationwide. It's been a problem years in the making. And so now the question is whether staffing in any way played a role in this accident. In addition, I have also learned that, in fact, investigators are going to be looking closely at the black box, the flight data recorder, when they get it from that Black Hawk helicopter, because that will tell them and give them a precise reading on the altitude for that helicopter. There is evidence that the chopper was higher than it should have been. In fact, at the same altitude as that plane. Well, the question's going to be, why was it at that altitude? Did they have an altimeter misfiring or misreading, if you will, inside the chopper? That'll be part of this investigation. I can also tell you the NTSB spent time with the families of the victims yesterday here in the Washington area, briefing them on the status of the investigation. And the NTSB has brought in its own Black Hawk helicopter pilot from Alaska, who is an expert on the Black Hawk. He is employed by the NTSB, but they have brought him into Washington to be their own eyes and ears and their expert on the Black Hawk, in addition to the Defense Department's own investigative team that will be looking into what happened on board that helicopter.
All right, so it's allowed. You know, he's got to come to it. Well, what are you going to do, Dom? Not allow it. All right, so this then gets to the question, why don't they have enough staffers? It gets to the DEI stuff that's been talked about. You know, we went over yesterday, you know, Trump, it should have been bereavement when he came on versus getting into some of this stuff, and it got a little bit mangled. But the bottom line is, I'm going to play you guys a former air traffic controller that says the staffing is down. Well, again, if the staffing is down and you're the supervisor, you literally can't send this person home early. Yeah, but what if there was a birthday party? They didn't want to miss this. Okay, who's the backup? Doesn't it make sense, even as someone who we're not air traffic controllers, to have one person on the helicopters? There's a lot of them in the Washington area. One person on the planes. Doesn't that make sense? Wouldn't they see at some point if the helicopter was having a problem with how high they were? Wouldn't they have instantly been able to tell them, I would assume, based on their coordinates, they're too high? 855-839-1210. So there's a little DEI in this, and there's a little bit of not getting that this is life and death. Yeah, but it's stressful. This guy had to go and do it. No, he doesn't. And we see story after story today of the number of near misses they've had and how these near misses are being written off so that we don't have the true statistics. This is a dangerous area. This Washington, I've never flown into it, but based upon the traffic and based upon the number of helicopters. So I came back to the thing I said on the first day. Should you really be then training in there? Is that combat? Doesn't that add an element more of risk that everybody knows? There have been near misses there. It's very, very crowded. That one runway is the busiest in the country, they believe. You can think about it. It's a major city, but you have all these congressional people, military people flying all over the place. It's constant. So 855-839-1210. Here is a former air traffic controller. This is Cut 7 talking about the lack of control tower staffing.
They're already overstretched in the tower, and now they're doing double duty? Scott, take a swing at that one.
That's a hard miss, Laura.
Sorry, Michael. For that one. Michael, go ahead.
No worries. Hi, Laura. This is a preventable disaster. The system has been under attack due to DEI and the FAA bowing to wokeness since 2010, since the Obama administration. The lack of staffing is directly attributable to the Obama administration terminating the lists of eligible well-trained air traffic control statements in 36 universities across the country in 2013 because they were too white. The FAA also, at the same time, implemented an immunity program. So you think you're seeing legitimate statistics, you're not. In the old days, before 2010, the immunity program, if an air traffic controller got two airplanes too close, too many times, they would be decertified and retrained. Now, they're not. All they have to do within 48 hours of being noticed or being investigated for a potential separation error. They're called operational errors in the FAA. The controller just simply has to avail themselves of this program that gives them immunity. And when I say immunity, I mean immunity. The FAA cannot retrain these people.
You can stop it there. So there's a blend here of DEI, without a doubt, but there's a blend of an organization that doesn't get it. We talk about it all this time with progressives and the nonsense in the federal government. Some of it is silly. Often it is silly. It's annoying. It's politically correct. But they'll get you killed, too. That's what this comes down to. This shouldn't happen, ever, given the technology, given what should be done. A million things can go wrong, and you still should not have the helicopter crashing into a plane. That's what seems to be the bottom line to me here. And once you say it shouldn't happen, then you look at, okay, what was slovenly here? And you can see what it was. You don't send the guy home. Now, again, I bet he's lawyered up. We're going to go through this again. Remember, several times this happens. The Trump administration is on this. But we ought to hear testimony from Congress. Well, we're busy. No. Today, this isn't a national story that has a lot of repercussions. Bring in the guy who was in charge of the control tower. Why did you do that? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Good, you're fired. Well, I'm lawyered up. We'll fire them, too. We're not paying them, too. We're not going to allow this to allow you to run out the clock. People are dead here. This should not have happened. Isn't that the bottom line in these things? And if you don't want to be in air traffic control, it's got to be stressful. If we need to pay people more because it's a hardship and difficulty, good. Pay them. But it is life and death, and you have to think that. If you don't, and if you think you're just sending people home like this is a normal job, you're not making widgets here. You're stopping fast-moving vehicles in a crowded space from crashing into each other. You don't go home. I don't care what it is. Why didn't he take over then? Well, he's busy supervising everything. What's his backup plan? Who do you bring in from the bullpen? Okay, Chuck Todd has been fired finally from NBC. And I don't like, Bill O'Reilly was right. He said it's unchristian. I don't know about being unchristian. I'm not in the, when anybody gets fired, it's not a good thing. I would say though, Dan, and I wanted to ask people, I do have exceptions to this. If ABC would get rid of Martha Raddatz, you know what? I would be fine. She's one of the most insulting that we've ever seen. Chuck Todd was insufferable and arrogant. I was covering the 20, and Rich was there. We were covering the 2008 Iowa primary there on the scene. And I, just try to get him to pop on for a minute. Oh my God. It was like, get this guy out of here. And then Michelle Bachmann, who was a candidate, comes running over and says, it's Tom. Let's go over to him, right past him. It was a beautiful moment. Now, that I would rub in. But Acosta is over the top, too. But Raddatz right now is the person that sets me off. All right, let me give you the side question. Got a great guest coming up at 12:30. We got a victory lap, Atlantic Shores, no Moss. They're giving up. They're going back to the Danish. Or are they the Danes or the Swedes? They are pulling out of the Jersey Shore big win. Phil Murphy says we're still going to fight on this. It's too important. We will not give up on this. Oh, yeah, Phil, you're going to give up ultimately because you're losing. We didn't even start the study. We didn't even start the clock on that. And they've already pulled out. And again, it's thanks to people like Robin Schaefer and the great group Protect Our Shores. But it's also Talk Radio 1210 listeners who embrace this. Would not give in, contributed. Mike Donahue, great lawyer, holding these people accountable. And they had several other brilliant lawyers. It is a huge victory. They thought this was a layup. They were going to do whatever the hell they wanted off Atlantic City, 12 miles off. You won't see anything. You're not going to tell us. They've been stopped. And this isn't momentary. When the 6 months are up, they're going to be stopped again. All right, 855-839-1210. Now, Dan saw this the other day. Today is the birthday of Justin Timberlake.
Oh, happy birthday, JT.
Yeah, there you go. And we are looking for, you had a couple of outside the box. Mine are a little bit more routine. but a person or a thing, something that broke away from the group or a partner and succeeded more than they were when they were in the group. So you don't think just of sports or show business. Could be anything. Now, I went back the all-time, and I'm not even sure, was it Martin? I think it was called Martin Lewis, but I'm not sure. When Martin Lewis or Lewis Martin were big, everybody thought Jerry Lewis is, when this breaks up, he'll be the biggest thing ever. Well, guess what? He wasn't. He was reduced to doing telethons. And Dean Martin is Dean Martin. The other one I'll take, and it's on my mind because the Lakers beat the Sixers and here in the NBA championship. They were going to present the trophy at half court, but because of the Philadelphia fans, they had to do it underground. And the performers, I think, may have done it underground. I'm not sure. It was Beyonce and Destiny's Choice. And when Beyonce left, that is...
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child, yeah. Yep. And I think they did it underground. I'm not sure. Or maybe they did it and the fans booed them so much, they didn't give the trophy out in public. They did it in the locker room or something. That's only the Sixers, not even Eagles fans. God knows what would have happened. But Beyonce is one of the three biggest names of the last 20 years, arguably. Well, maybe two biggest names, along with Taylor Swift.
Are you a team Beg?
Nah, I'm a bit overrated.
Well, I think you are, because you talk so much bad about Taylor Swift, and then you always pump up Beyonce. It's like...
Well, Taylor Swift is insufferable. I've stopped it a little bit, though. All right, Henry, how about yours?
Yeah, so I'll take one obvious one, and then one niche one, if we will.
Niche.
Anyway.
Executive order, niche. Go ahead.
Executive producer order.
So before
niche.
Breaking off as a giant solo artist, this person only joined the band No Doubt because her brother had asked her to because they needed a lead singer.
Okay.
And after a few years of putting out some pretty good music, No Doubt's lead woman, Gwen Stefani, broke off solo and had a very nice solo career. The other one I'm going to take is a multitude of people. So, are you familiar with the cult classic show Freaks and Geeks?
No.
It ran for one season in 1999, and it still has a cult-like following today. That show, by itself,
huge.
You know, it wasn't very successful, but it launched the careers of many famed movie actors, including Linda Cardellini, Martin Starr, Jason Segel, James Franco, Busy Phillips, and Seth Rogen. All on the show, all part of this ensemble cast that only lasted one season.
And all went solo.
Well, Seth Rogen, kind of regrettable that it launched him. I'll just put that note in. But okay. Yes, Dan.
Behind us here, Paul McCartney, who succeeded fantastically when he went solo from the Beatles, maybe exceeding his career as a Beatle.
I think that's...
You mean
really
Shears?
Want to say that? Yeah?
No.
That's a tough one.
I'm making that hot take that I don't actually believe, to be quite honest. I'll give full transparency there.
Yeah.
Hot take I do believe. Well, it's not much of a hot take. But something that went solo, Dom, that succeeded well. Let's go back to 1970 or so when America Motors Corporation with their Gremlin and their... Mm-hmm. They had all these cars, the Eagle, Pacer. Well, one of their cars went solo and became a cult phenomenon, becoming its own brand, that being Jeep.
Ah.
That is
Jeep
a great
going
insight.
Solo from American
wow.
Motors and, yes. You know, far exceeding them and still being around to this day.
What? Yeah, it's one of the biggest iconic brands out. That's a great one. So you can come up with something outside the world of entertainment, like Jeep is a good one. That would win. 855-839-1210. You get in with that. And is it as much DEI as a part of the picture, but just overall not getting... In the federal government, this is life and death. You just can't do what they did in this situation. And again, they should be starting testimony if they weren't lazy on Monday on this while America's paying attention to it. If the people involved won't testify, they're fired. They lawyer up. We go through this with every one of these crises, and we never get to the bottom of it. All right. Also, this weekend... I think you're seeing every leftist in the world saying, oh, the Super Bowl, you're going to be paying a lot more for guacamole. I want to hear from you. Are you stocking up on any Canadian product or Mexican product? Because the tariffs drop apparently on Saturday, and I think they're going to happen this time. Mexico and Canada look like they want to fight on this one. 25%.
Can I go back to Jeep for a sec?
Yeah, sure.
Just a little cool factoid I just learned from a commenter, Bob and Conrad. He said Jeep, GP, general purpose, or government purposes, where the name came from, Jeep, GP. Had no idea from American Motor.
I did not,
And also, to expand that further to another brand very similar that went solo, HMMWV, the military name, High Mobility Multi-Purpose Wheeled Vehicle, also known as, when shortened, Humvee.
Humvee, yes.
Yeah.
All right, 855. Those are good ones. The Jeep would have won to me. 855-839-1210. All right, this just in. I feel like that ought to be the show. Well, just in. The Trump, let's put that out. John Justin Giordano's Justin.
Well, he changed his name to Justin Giordano.
There you go. Dom, well, that's going to be the side question on Monday. I see that Montgomery County is holding a big Change Your Name Day. Some people think it's about...
Really?
Yeah. It's about...
the name right. D-O-M.
U-S-T-I-N.
Yeah, transgender stuff. I was going to say, side question on Monday might be... If you change your name, what would the new name be? Or whose name would you take? Whose name do you think has a lot of pop to it that you would take that? So we might play with that. But just in, by 5 p.m. today, the Trump administration orders federal employees to remove pronouns from their email signatures. Now you can say, you know what Democrats are already out there saying? What about the price of bacon, though? What are they doing about that?
We can put that in our email signatures if we want.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to keep on banging that drum. This is a simple thing. Now, what happens if they don't? I'm not sure, but we will see. Oh, we should have taken this one off the list. It's a pretty good
right?
One.
A home run right off the bat.
Yeah, Kyle we're going to have to find something that's going to knock this one out. I'll go to Joe in a moment. But imagine none of those pesky pronouns with the federal government. Couple observations from all the testimony yesterday, too. Ted Cruz said it. I was thinking about it, too. The fact that ICE is able to find 800 to 1,000 people a day to arrest that are here illegally, criminal, be deported, it tells you they were just hiding in plain sight. You know how hard this would be if these people were burrowed underground? Even with all of ICE's resources to be arresting 800 to 1,000 or more every day, they're right there. They're blatant about it. Biden administration, no problem. They're right there. You know, with all the aliases, all the names, all the stuff, you see some of these neighborhoods. How are they dragging these people out of there so easily? All right. The other is a lot of talk about Medicaid yesterday with Kennedy. And a lot of belief, and several people voiced this, that the problem with Medicaid is people that are here illegally are using Medicaid. Apparently, they're able to do that one way or the other. I am just gearing up my hopes to go back to Gitmo. I'm just waiting. We talked yesterday with Grip Jenkins about 30,000 beds there to put people that won't be accepted back by their own countries or put them on hold. And I went back, and you can see it on my Twitter, at DomShow1210. It's an article I wrote, kind of a diary of my time in Gitmo. I think it was 2004, 2005, maybe 2004, that we were in Gitmo. And I've been looking all morning for sound from some of the interviews from that. And I haven't come across anything yet, but we'll play some when I get. It's just an unbelievable place. And the article I wrote on the plane coming back, Delaware County Times was good enough to publish it, and it gives you insight to what this place is all about, what was going on there. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's still there, and then we're sending these other potential killers there also. So this is going to be a big deal when they go back to Gitmo. 855-839-1210. Let's go to Joe. In Westchester. Hey, Joe. Good afternoon.
Oh, okay. That's me, I guess.
Yeah, it is you, Joe. You have a pretty good one now, Joe. Let's cut right to it. Go ahead. Yes.
I know. I never felt one this early. But at any rate, that's what I'm thinking. United States of America surpassed the British in the British Empire, breaking away from the British Empire.
Yes, that is a pretty good one. It was decent when it was in the British Empire, but solo a lot better. Thank you, Joe. Really got to the point today. Henry must have really worked him over.
Job time coming to you from Guantanamo Bay.
Where did you find that, Dan?
Again, here on the Big Talker 1210.
Ah, the Big Talker.
Right, number two, and it has just been a fabulous, fabulous day. A little bit of technical problems, but we're getting there. And what a day that we've had going through Camp Delta.
Tortures.
Meeting a top female interrogator, among other things. A day at which the end of it, we're going to be talking with the general who is one of the commanders here at the place, and we're also going to be talking with the mayor slash naval commander slash I don't know how many hats, if we can get all of his hats in, and a guy that has a Philly connection coming up. I just want to emphasize, though, coming to you from Guantanamo today, the first day that we've had a chance to actually see the detainees, if you can imagine. I don't know, when I saw the Grand Canyon, it was like, wow. Well, seeing the detainees today was that same sort of experience that we all had. These guys that we've talked about and imagine what they're like, what goes on, their motivations, the whole thing. Actually being at one point maybe about 20, 25 feet away from a number of them. One guy who reminded us all of John Belushi, like an Animal House throwback type of guy. We'll get into all that tonight. I want to tell you, too, if you're tuning in tomorrow night, right at the top of the show, not making...
Whoa, it cuts off there. What was tomorrow night, Dom?
Well, you know what was the hit of the whole thing to generate the most call? I had either Ben or Jerry on. They had a book. And when they heard that I was at Gitmo, they said, oh, torturing people. Off to the races. It was just nuts. Ben and Jerry on the Gitmo tour. So,
this guy that reminded you of John Belushi. What was he, Toga or something?
Well, you got Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, if you've ever seen him, is like John Belushi on steroids. Yeah, he's the mastermind.
That's who you were talking about?
I'm not sure if it was Khalid or not. All I know is these guys were within a three-point shot of me playing with a soccer ball. So I don't know which I detested more, them or what they were playing. And then the others were right across looking like, we'll kill you in a second, at picnic tables. They're sitting at picnic tables at Gitmo. With special
live
food.
From Guantanamo Bay, it's Dom time. Dom Giordano is on the Big Talker 1210.
Now that's a voice.
I like the Phoenix
being
out there.
Dom time from, of all places, Guantanamo Bay. Unprecedented, unbelievable, the trials and tribulations and the assorted people in the room. I'll have to give a rundown at the end of the show.
Stop for a second here, Dan. Scott, a full colonel, Scott Rutter, is holding together two wires because of the difficulties we had underneath the table to keep us on the air from there. Yeah.
I got to find the Ben and Jerry interview. It's got to be in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be in here somewhere. Yeah. And the program director, who was a female, had her clothes taken, and she's wearing fatigues from the military there. So it was quite a place, to put it mildly. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with a mom who is one of the leaders of MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, was with RFK Jr. yesterday during the testimony, and why she thinks if he gets in, this will be revolutionary. She's next here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Side question today. Somebody who left the group or partnership and became even bigger. Just curious, Jimi Hendrix, great example. He was with the Velvet Tones, Jimi Hendrix. That doesn't seem likely. He'd be in a band called the Velvet Tones.
What do you mean? I think it's perfectly apt for Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of velvet that the guy wore.
No, I don't think so.
You got to get your start somewhere.
All right. Joining us is the founding executive director of Moms Across America, the author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community, Zen Honeycutt. And Zen Honeycutt joins us here in Philadelphia. I think, Zen, were you in Washington for the hearings?
I was and I am. I was here for the inauguration. I stayed for the week and a half, and I've been pounding the pavement, speaking to senator staffers, and going to dozens and dozens and dozens of offices.
Yeah, yes. We'll get into your story. It's fascinating, and how you were a force even before RFK Jr. rose to potentially be the force here. Zen, your takeaway from the hearings, is it just on the committee? Is it just Cassidy that you think is the issue?
Well, we need to reach out to all of our senators, every single one of us, whether a Democrat or Republican. We should be expecting them to vote yes for Kennedy because he's putting health before the profits and, you know, before political divide. And so everybody needs to be reaching out to all of their senators. Cassidy does hold a particular key with the Finance Committee, because they do have a majority there. And we do want it to move forward with approval from the Finance Committee. However, my understanding is that even if the Finance Committee does not approve of the nomination moving forward, it still will move forward. And all 50 of our senators, all of our senators will be voting, and Kennedy can still get 50 votes and get approved.
So you were a new mom, and suddenly disaster hit with your child having asthma, stomach aches, facial swelling, all that stuff. And I think you say he suffered from more than 20 food intolerances, and a doctor pretty much told you that he was going to be in that condition if he lived. Wow.
Yes, they told me that his exposures to particularly nuts would be life-threatening, and the more that he was exposed to them, the more likely he would die. And considering there's 150 kids who die every year from peanut allergies or various nut allergies, I took that very seriously. I was an extremely stressed-out mom. But what happened was, when we learned about GMOs and glyphosate and cleaned up his diet, first we went GMO-free, and his allergies dramatically improved within just a couple of months. And when we went 100% organic, because my second son got autism symptoms, we entirely cleaned up all of our diets. My eldest son, his allergies went from a 19 down to a 0.2. So he no longer has life-threatening allergies. He will not die from food. And my second son, who had autism symptoms, within 6 weeks, his symptoms cleared up, and they only come back when he eats junk food. So I know firsthand that our kids can recover from not only autism symptoms, but allergies, autoimmune issues, asthma. I know how to make America healthy again. There are thousands of us moms that know how to do that. And we are doing that with our families right now, regardless of what the government does. My kids can now eat wheat, dairy, eggs, even nuts, and not get sick and not have to go to the hospital.
So, Zen, how does RFK Jr. come into this then? What's he going to do in your view? Let's start with the food lane first.
Yeah, well, we're extremely grateful that Bobby has been, you know, focusing on getting toxins out of the environment for 35 years now. So he has also been doing this for a very long time. He sued Monsanto for its connection to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and Roundup. And so we've been very grateful for him. He's been an advisor to Moms Across America for 7 years. And we have been, you know, working in lockstep, pretty much mostly focused on glyphosate for a very long time. So we're super grateful that he has the courage, the tenacity, the intelligence, and the compassion to single-handedly bridge the divide with our politicians by setting his ego aside.
But do what? What is it? Let's go through what you think he will advocate for. What direct that? What will come
goes,
of this?
Yes.
Yeah, let's start with food.
So as far as food goes, we believe that he will work with farmers. He's already insinuated that he's talked with them and they want to reduce chemical usage. And the way to do that is through supporting regenerative organic agriculture, which does not use toxic chemicals. Now, some people just switch to regenerative first, which means they may still use some toxic chemicals, but they do start to reduce them. And over time, the goal is regenerative organic, where there are, restoring soil quality, which sequesters more carbon, absorbs more water, and increases nutrient density in the crop. And that's what we need, is non-toxic, nutrient-dense food. And Bobby, through his position at the FDA, can be very supportive of that in as far as, you know, what is how they're enforcing, you know, with the food system and labeling and all of that. So, and he's working very closely with the head of the USDA. So we hope that that partnership will result in nutrient-dense, non-toxic food.
Now, when we saw him, we played it yesterday. It was very moving on one side. What's your thought process when we had the Senator Hassan from New Hampshire talk about her son and talk about how a mom in your situation, my wife, would go through, well, what could we have done or didn't do that resulted in this? And her charge that Kennedy is still going back down the autism through vaccines path.
Well, my heart goes out to her because I've been there, you know, wondering if the vaccines I gave my children did cause the vaccine damage that they have had. I've had dear friends with the same exact situation, cerebral palsy. And she was open to the idea that it was the vaccine, not because, you know, that was just the only reason that really was what caused her daughter's cerebral palsy. So I would invite Senator Hassan to reconsider her assessment of that. I'm not saying that is what caused her son's, you know, cerebral palsy, but it is very possible. And the fact is that if it was vaccines, it doesn't mean it's the parents' fault. It doesn't mean that we should feel guilty and terrible. And, you know, we can't do anything about the past. All we can do anything about is right now. And I would urge her to consider that all of these very vocal voices about the risks of vaccines that can cause autism in some people, these people are speaking up because they want to prevent the same harm that happened to her child to happen to other people. If it was, in fact, vaccines that caused her son's issues. And I have talked to hundreds, if not thousands, of moms who have experienced the very same thing. And it's extremely unfortunate. Nobody wants to have what they gave their child harm them. But all we can do is focus on the future. And right now, there are babies being born today, and we can prevent this kind of harm happening to them by
I'm a bit on the other side on this, on the vaccine part. I'm with you on the food and Kennedy on it.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean not vaccinating children, or does it mean eliminating certain vaccines, too many, the time of it? What is it you're proposing?
That is a great question. First of all, I would read the vaccine insert. I would read the ingredients and understand them before you give anything to your child, before they eat or before they're injected. Second of all, I would read the side effects and decide if that is a risk that you want to give your child. Third of all, I would read the studies by Dr. Paul Thomas, and there's a very good book called Vax versus Unvaxxed by Dr. Brian Hooker, which explains that children who either do not get vaccinated or they're vaccinated after 3 years old have far better and lower rates of autism. So I would ask people to consider if they're not willing to not vaccinate their children, delay the vaccines, and also reconsider the number of vaccines you give your child. Because, you know, it's a simple fact that, I mean, the Brady Bunch did an episode about measles, just staying home and having some Kool-Aid that day. And chickenpox is clearly, it's not fatal. There are many, Hep B on the first day of life, you know, our babies are not playing with, you know, needles or engaging with prostitutes. So there are clear ways to prevent vaccine damage by delaying and or choosing not to vaccinate. And the study by Dr. Paul Thomas shows that the children who are not vaccinated are actually healthier. Their immune systems are not as compromised by the aluminum in the vaccines, and they are able to recover from any type of flu or sickness much faster if they don't and not get sick as often.
Zen, before we give the website for moms across America, so we talk food, we talk vaccine. What else do you see Kennedy opening up in your view?
Well, Kennedy really has a lot of ability to create more transparency. For right now in the FDA, so mostly food and vaccines, that's what we're mostly concerned about with him. But the transparency is very important. You know, the FDA has a program called GRAS, generally recognized as safe. And a lot of people don't know this, but back in 1997, they made that process voluntary. So now the food manufacturers that are putting additives in our food, they don't even have to tell the FDA about it. They don't even have to apply for a generally recognized as safe application. They don't have to submit that. They can just put whatever they want in our food. So it's a wild, wild west out there of food additives. And it's about time that we have somebody in that position at HHS over the FDA that says, no, we cannot just willy-nilly be poisoning the people with, you know, preservatives and dyes and food additives that aren't deemed safe. So we are looking forward to him being able to have more, assert more. Not, I don't want to say control, but the regulatory agencies simply need to be doing their jobs, and he would like them to be transparent and accountable for doing their jobs.
Where do we find Moms Across America, Zen?
You can go to momsacrossamerica.org. And if you have further questions, by the way, about food, we've got a data page with hundreds of studies. We've got a frequently asked questions page. We have that about our stance on vaccines. We think it's very reasonable. We just want safety. That's all.
Zen, thank you. Please come back as this continues. Is it your sense the vote could be Thursday or Friday of this coming week?
It could be within 7 to 10 days, yes.
Okay.
And we hope that it is very quickly, and we hope all of the senators vote yes. Imagine if every senator voted yes for Kennedy, they would restore faith and trust in the government in America by putting health first. Let's just imagine that.
All right, Zen, thank you. Have a nice weekend. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you.
Zen Honeycutt here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, let's get your reactions to that. Hit us on the side question. Don't be intimidated by Joe's, even though it was a very good one. 855-839-1210. Justin Timberlake, somebody that left or something, a group or a partnership, and became bigger on their own. 855-839-1210. I differ on the autism thing. Around the edges, he wants to look at it some more. I get it. But the idea of going back to that, I think it's the consensus. And I'm not talking just to Dr. Fauci's of the world says differently. But okay, you want to open some more studies on that? That's fine. You want to talk about COVID vaccine? Yes, definitely. That's where the issue is. More so than vaccine in general with kids. We know the overkill of this and what it resulted in with myocarditis, without a doubt. All right, 855-839-1210. Still monitoring what's happening with this horrific accident. And the bottom line, the press conference is going to be at 1 o'clock today with Caroline Leavitt. We'll see what questions get asked around that, maybe dip into some of it. 855-839-1210. All right, Dr. Giordano's show. Mayor Pete has gotten the memo. He has axed the he-him pronouns from his online profile. Not sure what he has put up there, but it looks like none of them must be running for the Senate. Also, CBS News looks like they are negotiating to settle up with President Trump. Now, this one I never thought Trump would win on. For the distortion, if you will, the Kamala Harris 60 Minutes interview, if you remember that one, even though I think she came off pretty badly in the interview, it looks like big money is going to happen here. I don't know about a billion, but it's going to be tens of millions at least. How many does that make? Stephanopoulos, Facebook. And these are really hard because Trump is such a household brand to prove defamation, anything like that. Very difficult. All right, let's go to Gary in Newtown. He's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
I would ask a favor. When you refer to, I almost blew my brain off when I was listening to you say the incompetence of how we can't fire somebody. I don't know what the term was. Now, since 2013, how many people we can't get. And it's, anyway, I would ask when you refer to what happened, that it's the most busiest runway in America.
Yes.
Just keep it, the most busiest runway in America. Can't have two people on it? Are you really serious?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Imagine the guy that runs it with that knowledge, Gary. And a lot of it is helicopter and airplane, which is a mixed use. Telling the guy, yeah, you can go home. I understand you got to go home for a few hours. Then he lawyers up because he ought to be out there in the news today. They ought to grill him and talk about how in the world could you make that decision?
It's beyond criminal.
It is. It just shows it's not so much just DEI. It's the attitude. And he's the supervisor engaging in this.
My whole body is shaking right now how angry I am about. Nobody knows what you just said in the first 10 minutes of your show. Nobody else. If I tell people when I get home, they're going to be, what? Nobody. I mean, I used to fly, not for a living. I wasn't a pilot, but I used to fly around the country all the time. I've flown into Ronald Reagan. It is crazy to fly into. It's also beautiful because it's. Mm-hmm. When you're coming in at the right with the right wind, you're literally on the river. It's beautiful. But it never knew it was the most busiest runway
on
the planet.
I did not know that. They say it's clear that this is the busiest. And the helicopter traffic I've read in several places seems to be the busiest, given all the military congresspeople and all that. Maybe you shouldn't put helicopters training in there on top of it. I mean, you know, we got to uncrowd this a bit.
Now, I would like to share with you a private private public announcement for your men, XY callers and XY listeners,
all
if
right.
you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
A very good friend of mine, my brother, had prostate cancer a year ago. He changed his lifestyle, diet and lifestyle, specifically no GMOs, specifically eating certain things at certain times of the day. No more, sorry, Dan, IPAs. And as a result, 1 year later, two lesions did not show up on an MRI, and his prostate, which was never enlarged, went down by 18%.
That is, it's severe, some of the stuff that you have to do potentially, Gary, to your point. But look at the results. Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm waiting for the music to come up. I was not going to sing it.
Okay, there you go.
It's inappropriate to sing. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Eric Clapton.
Very nice. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, Eric Clapton certainly went up big time on his own. That's got to be one of the riskiest things. If you were in a big time, I mean like a mega, you can't even imagine situation. And I guess the tension of it. You know, like the Beatles breaking up. That's probably the all-time. How have the Stones stayed together, though? That's remarkable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't even thought about that.
What is it, 60 years, something like that?
It has to be, yeah, around there.
They don't seem to get on each other's nerves publicly, as far as we can tell.
Good leadership in-house.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger does a good job.
Yeah, he must. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Coming up, our buddy Wally Zimelong, lawyer extraordinaire, federal government. He's got an update. Remember Springfield, the Montgomery County Springfield? Remember my back and forth with the doofus guy there? Oh, what are you going to come over here and testify? Remember how they went after the cops? Well, he's got some finality on that. And I'll ask him a couple of other things. He's a federal lawyer. Here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.